Thank you, Hope. We appreciate you sharing your talent with us this morning. Now, would you stand for the reading of the gospel? In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child will be born, will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to the barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Would you pray with me? Gracious and Heavenly Father, we ask you this morning to meet us here. Speak to us in the stillness of our hearts. Speak to our spirits. May we connect with you. May we grow closer to you. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These past four Sundays leading up to Christmas has marked a season in the church that we know as Advent. It is a season in the church when we anticipate the arrival of Christ. As he came into the world a couple thousand years ago, and as he comes into our hearts today. And here at Chambly, over the past few weeks in Advent, we have been looking at different people's perspectives surrounding the Christmas story. And this week, we are hearing Mary's story. Specifically, we're going to look at an encounter that Mary had with the angel Gabriel, and we get to overhear a private conversation between those two. And my hope for us this morning is that we can learn and we can grow by listening to Gabriel's message and watching Mary's response. It seems to me that in everybody's life, at some point or another, they'll get to a place where they say the phrase, "This is impossible." Now, depending on where you are in life, what stage of life you're in, an impossible task looks very different. I remember when I was growing up, and I would take trips down to Macon. That's to see my grandparents. That's where they lived. And I remember going into my grandma's backyard, and it seemed very possible for me to accomplish the task of digging a hole all the way to China. See, Grandma had soft dirt, she had great gardening tools, a couple of shovels, and I knew that this could be accomplished, and that if I just had more than a couple of days, then that 1-foot hole would have gone all the way through the earth, and I would have been good to go. On the other hand, there were impossible tasks as a child. At the end of every school year, the teacher would tell you, for summer reading, you have to read 2 books. Now, for elementary school Jeff, that was an impossible task. Somehow, though, over the course of the summer, I would read both of those books. However, the tunnel to China never fully materialized. And so it is, as we grow older, our perception of impossible changes. And maybe it changes a little bit with our faith as well. But as we grow older, impossible tasks turn into work deadlines or financial shortcomings. Impossible tasks increase in scope. Maybe it's world peace. Maybe it's a relationship in your life that's impossible to mend, or the doctors give you an impossible diagnosis. It's an impossible task that we overhear this morning between the angel Gabriel and Mary. But the message that Gabriel brought that day and the message that God has for us this morning is that in impossible times, God is with us. Even in impossible times, God is with us. In fact, this is the opening line that Gabriel brings. He said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." I think he started off with this because it's a practical matter. He knew that Mary was going to need to hold on to this simple truth that God was with her as she navigated this situation. And I'm sure of that because it's the same truth that we hold on to as we navigate difficult situations. But I think it's more than just practical. I think that Gabriel started off his message to Mary by telling her that the Lord is with her for theological reasons. I think what we find is that this teaches us that God makes the first step in our relationship. Before Mary does anything in this situation, God tells her that he is with her. There is nothing that we have to do for God to offer his presence. There is no prerequisite for God being with us. And if you stick around the church long enough, you'll find that that's the case in the stories we read in the Bible, in the songs that we sing, and in the traditions that we practice. One of my favorite traditions in the church is a sacrament that we call communion. And in the Methodist church, there's a particular liturgy that we do, and if we do the full service of communion, we begin with an invitation. And the invitation uses the words, "Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with one another." And if we pay attention to this invitation, then we see that all are welcome at God's table. That's the truth in this church here. That's the truth in the Methodist church. And that is how God extends his love to all of us. Regardless of any situation that's gone on in your past, regardless of whatever impossible situation you are facing currently, God offers you his presence. But will you accept it? I think it's important to note that Gabriel goes to Mary in Nazareth. Now, in other places in the Bible, if we look at John chapter 1, we'll read that the people of the time said, "Nothing good ever comes from Nazareth. It's a city on the outside." So when Gabriel comes to a woman who would have been marginalized herself in a city that was on the outside, he's showing us that God wants to be with the people that we tend to avoid. In fact, he even calls Mary a highly favored one. There are not barriers that we can build up that are big enough to keep God away from somebody. Is there somebody in your life that might have a barrier between them and God? Is there someone that needs to hear the good news that in impossible times, God is with them? I've been thinking about impossible situations leading up to this morning. And for the last 2 years, we've been praying for a member of our congregation. Because it was at that time when our sister in Christ, Susan Burdick, was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Now that's an impossible situation. But a few weeks ago, she went to Emory to have another checkup. And she sent me a text after that meeting, after that appointment. And I asked her if I could share it with you this morning, and she said I could. I'll just read you what she wrote. No more chemo. CT scans are stable. Creatinine levels are normal. I'll go every 3 months for those tests. It's not remission, but it's the next best thing. Remission's only considered on cancers of the blood, no other cancers, according to my doctor. I'll continue like this unless there's some change, and then she'll propose a remedy. It used to be that stage 4 lung cancer was a death sentence. I'm so thankful for a great doctor and staff at Winship. But most of all, it was the prayers, encouragement, and support from the church members. In impossible times, God is with us. It's an impossible situation that we're overhearing between the angel Gabriel and Mary. Not just scientifically impossible, but it's an emotionally impossible situation. And a lot of us are so familiar with this text that we miss the emotion that's in this story. But it is raw with emotion. Now, as if Mary being told that she was pregnant is not emotional enough, let me try to explain to you the gravity of this particular situation. See, the story of Jesus' birth did not begin with Mary. The news that Gabriel brought that night goes back many years. It was an anticipated event for the Jewish people. And when Gabriel tells Mary that Jesus will be given the throne of his ancestor David, in verse 32, that is not a throwaway line. It's an important line. It is the fulfillment of the promise for God's Messiah for the Jewish people. He is saying that Jesus is going to be the leader that God has chosen to save his people. Jesus is this Messiah they have anticipated for thousands of years. Now, to understand this promise, we have to go a little bit back in the Bible. And so we flip back to the book of 2 Samuel, which has a lot of history of the church. And one of the central people in that story is a man named David. Now, most of you know about David, probably that he killed Goliath with a sling, not a slingshot as a side note, but with a sling. And then David became the king. And we read in 2 Samuel chapter 7 this promise that God gives him. I will raise up David's offspring and establish his kingdom. He will build a house for God's name, and God will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That's the same promise that Gabriel mentions when he says that Jesus' reign will last forever and of his kingdom there will be no end. And so in the story of the Bible, when we get to this message that we read this morning, we are at a critical point. It is that all the hopes of all of these years are being met in Jesus, and God is fulfilling his promise. But not only that, it just so happens that this baby will also be the Son of God. And all of that is being placed on Mary's shoulders. It is an impossible situation, emotionally as well. We serve a God who is with us. But not only is he with us, we serve a God who is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows about everything that is going on in our lives, but not only does he know the facts and the situations of our lives, but he knows what it means to us. He is the God who created us and who loves us. Have you ever considered the fact that God understands whatever situation you're going through better than anyone else? I can't imagine how Mary must have been feeling. But I know that Gabriel ended his message by telling her that nothing is impossible with God. And so my question for you is, how will you respond to the impossible situations in your life? How will you respond to God's presence? You can choose to ignore God. You can choose to grow angry with God. Or you can choose to accept that presence and lean in to what God has for you. Mary's response in this situation was simple, yet profound. Mary responded by saying, "Here am I, the Lord's servant. Let it be with me according to his word." Is there somewhere in your life that you need to say, "Let it be with me"? I'm convinced that how we respond to God's presence in our life matters, not just to us, but it matters to those around us as well. I recently heard a story about somebody I'll probably never meet. He's the brother of a friend of Brittany Dunlap's. And even though I've never met him, his story matters. His story is one of an alcoholic. And just before Thanksgiving, he had to go to the hospital. His health got so bad that he was in the hospital for 15 days. And it was at that point that the sister got a call. And the doctor was on the other end and said, "You have to rush down to the hospital right now. His health is just declining so rapidly." You ever got a call that's desperate? So she rushes down expecting the worst. But in her own words, when she got to the hospital, instead of finding the worst, she found God pursuing her brother. In that man's darkest moments, he decided to accept the presence of Christ in his life. And since that day, he said he is the happiest he's ever been. He feels like he's been given a second chance at life. He said he can't wait to go to church to share his story with other people. That was a moment in this man's life that probably seemed impossible. There were probably years of moments leading up to that day that seemed impossible for his family. But there was never a moment where God was not present. How we respond to God's presence in our lives matters. It matters to us, and it matters to people that we may never meet. So may you go from this place knowing that God is with you. May you respond to God's presence in your life, and may you come to find that nothing is impossible for God. Amen. We have a chance right now to respond to the presence of God.